But as a believer today, as a Christian, we have a duty. We have a responsibility. And I believe we have a responsibility to ourselves. And I believe I know we have a responsibility to others. If you would turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 9. And we'll read through the rest of the chapter down through verse 16. And Paul writing to this young preacher, Timothy. I've preached out of Timothy quite a bit here lately. And Paul is giving him instruction, really giving him pastoral instruction. Book 1st, 2nd Timothy, and a couple other books are known as pastoral epistles. And out of that we get much of the doctrine that we believe and that we stand for in our churches. And Paul writes to this young preacher in verse number 9. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." It's worthy of understanding. It's worthy of taking it in. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He says, in doing this, you're going to save yourself and those that hear thee. Now, Paul is not talking about a spiritual salvation here, of the salvation of a soul, but he's talking about the salvation and the deliverance of our life to others that might help us and to help them. I believe in these verses this morning we find that there is a duty of every believer. It is not only given to the Apostle Paul, given to Timothy from the Apostle Paul, but since it is in our Scripture as part of the Word of God, it is a message not just to Timothy, but it is a message to you and I. It's to you and I that are believers, those that have been saved by the grace of God, those who the Lord has, what it says in verse number 9, especially of those that believe. We are the believers. And so therefore, these verses are pertaining to individuals, and of course individuals that come together. It comes to the operation of the local church. Paul admonishes this young man, Timothy, to keep his focus. Now, there's a lot of things, and I'm sure you will understand this and identify. There's a lot of things, if we're not careful, that will take our focus off of what it should be on. Our focus should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ and He alone. And there's a lot of things in this world, if we're not careful, will take our focus and switch it and change it, and therefore we will become lacking in the things that God wants us to have in our personal life. In the midst of all that goes on both around us and around the local church and sometimes those that are outside, it's easy to lose our focus. It's easy for me to lose my focus when I hear of all the things that are taking place in this world and the atrocities and the wickedness that is abounding everywhere. It's easy for us to get off on all of that and stay there and really lose the main focus that we need to be preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because I believe, and my personal belief and philosophy has always been, that the preaching of the Word of God will take care of most every problem that's in our life. I don't think we have to go to counselors. I don't think we have to be counseled. And there's nothing wrong with having somebody help. I'm not talking about that. But I believe that the preaching of God's Word will help us in every lacking area of our life. Everything that is wrong in our life can be handled and straightened out by the Word of God. Everything that takes place in our life can be helped by knowing what thus saith the Lord. There's a lot of problems in our world that we live, and there's a lot of difficulties that have come into the local churches. Why, sin and worldliness have entered into the local church, and it sits completely comfortable in the pews of the house of God in many places. Doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what goes on in your life, you can go to church and feel good and go home and be happy and everything's all right. Well, I'm sorry to say everything's not all right in the house of God. Those things have crept in and have seemingly overtaken us as religious, quote-unquote, religious people. There is division and defilement. There's discouragement. There is almost an everyday occurrence of something that comes up at us that will beat us down. And Satan is on the sideline. He's happy to watch us sort of wallow in our sorrow and not have much to do and just being totally divided away from Christ. But Paul tells Timothy here, he says, we labor and we suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Now, I don't know of a greater missionary that would ever be upon God's earth than the Apostle Paul. And he says, we suffer reproach because of the living God. And some of the things that come at us, some of the problems that bombard our homes and our lives are simply because we believe in the living God and Satan is at war against us. But that should not enter into taking us off of our focus of Jesus Christ. Apostasy is in full swing today. The word apostasy just means we've moved away from truth. And it's in full swing everywhere, nationwide, worldwide, and things that were once reverend and now they're far removed from us. Things that were once holy are no longer even talked about. The old paths are something that we just think of in the past. And so we have a duty this morning. As Paul was telling Timothy, he had a duty to do some things to maintain and to keep his focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, verse number 11, these things command and teach. Now, Timothy, this is what you need to do. First of all, let no man despise thy youth. Now, Timothy was a young man, but he was far ahead of his, probably his age-wise, he was far ahead in his ability spirituality than most that were with him. And so Paul tells Timothy, he said, don't you despise your youth and don't let anybody else despise you. Just because you're young doesn't mean you don't know things. And here's how you find out. Here's how you go on and serve the Lord. But be thou an example of believers. Our duty this morning as a Christian is that we be an example as a believer. That we go out these doors. Now, it's not hard to be an example in here. It's not hard to be good in here, to be a Christian in here. I'm talking about when we go out those doors and then go out those glass doors, get in our car, go to our home, go shopping, go to the workplace, wherever we might go. Sometimes it's a challenge to be a believer and to be an example of believers in this world because we certainly are not we're not in good graces with the world. We're not in good graces with the devil. And here Paul says, Timothy, you be an example of the believer. Here's how you do it. First of all, in word. That's in your words, the word of God, the message, in your conversation. The word conversation there means your lifestyle. We've gone over that word 100 times. It just simply means the way you live. It says, in charity, that's what you give. That's your heart. That's the heart of a believer, to have charity in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, you be that example till I come. Until I come to be with you, and this is a personal letter to Timothy, he says, you have that example, you be that example in all these ways till I come, giving attendance to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. Now, if we want to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to keep our focus right, if we want to have in our life what is right, then we must follow the pattern, the plan here that Paul gives unto Timothy. I mentioned sin that has come into the church, and division and defilement that has come into lives, and apostasy, going away from truth. All those things are active to get our eyes off of the Lord. All those things are there. If we're not careful, they will make us put our eyes another direction, another way. There has been, and I believe is continuing, a satanic infiltration of ungodly men in churches. I believe there are churches this morning that have the word church in their name, and behind the pulpit is an ungodly, unknowledgeable person that supposedly is a preacher of the gospel, and he doesn't even know God. You can go all across our country and find that Satan has infiltrated. Oh, he's come in sheep's clothing, as the Scripture says he would. And he comes to look good and to sound good, but all underlying things that they do is to destroy the heritage of God and to destroy what we know is truth and righteousness. And to destroy. It's amazing. If you go back just a few years, and if we would take a study, say the last 50 years, of how different denominations, we'll call and say, how they have strayed from the way that they were founded and were established in early days gone by. It's amazing how they've gone astray. You know what they've done? They've taken their eyes off of the main thing. They've taken their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been spoiled. The Bible tells us in Colossians that we have been spoiled by certain things. We've been spoiled by false doctrine. Comes in, creeps in unaware sometimes, and all of a sudden, then it blooms, and the seed that has been planted blooms into a full-grown stalk, and the false doctrine is there very, very well settled and set. And there's a lot of churches this morning that are dividing because of truth and untruth. And if there is a time, if there is a right time to divide, I believe it'd be over truth. I don't believe you ought to sit and listen to somebody that doesn't believe God and doesn't believe His Word. I don't believe you ought to sit under that. I believe you ought to just divide yourself from that and go on and establish something that believes the Lord and serves God and preaches the gospel. We've been spoiled. Some churches have been spoiled by that false doctrine. They're spoiled by formalism, afraid to say anything, afraid to look a little different and be a little different. Brother Larry said a while ago, could we take 5 minutes and just run? If you want to run, take off. I don't care how informal that is or how that might look to the world, but if God deals with our heart, then I believe we ought to follow God and follow His direction. We've been spoiled by making sure that we do everything right, making sure that the program follows a certain way. And I have so many times said, church services are nothing more than a production. It's just a production. You practice all week to get sure everything is in the right place. Boy, I'd go out of distance here with it. But practice all week to make sure you do it at the right time, on the right place, and in the right way, and make sure it's all well, and everybody looks the same, and everybody dressed the same, and everybody has all the formalities right. It's killed us. It's killed some of our churches because we no longer have the freedom to express. I thank God we still have folks that say amen. Praise the Lord. We have folks that get involved. And if you want to preach me to death, just say amen a whole lot. That'll take care of it. Because that's just an agreement. That's saying, I agree with you. I'm backing you. I'm with you. And we have been so destroyed by formalism and false doctrine. We've been destroyed by doing away with what she sang about, the grace of God. Oh, praise the Lord for His grace. We have churches all across this country that they'll sing Amazing Grace and they have no idea what God's grace is all about. Amazing Grace, I guess, is one of the most popular songs ever been written. And you can be a heathen and sing it and get the applause of men. It does not change what it means. It does not change the total meaning of what God's grace is and how it is sufficient for you and I. In these verses here, Paul tells Timothy to do some things that would help him and those that hear them in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. And unto the doctrine. That word "the" in front of doctrine means a particular kind. It's not just any old doctrine. It's not just a doctrine. But take heed to the doctrine. What God has given to us and the teaching of the Word of God of what we have in the house of the Lord. In these verses we find, I believe, the key to spiritual stability and protection of the local church and that family, those families that make up that church. It's important that we know the Word of God. It's important that you read the Word of God for yourself. And if you have a question, get you a good dictionary, get you a good concordance, or take your computer and look, put the words in there and search them out and look them out. On my phone, I've got two or three Bibles on my phone. And one of them is the Strong's Concordance with the King James Bible. And sometimes I'll use it just to find out what that word means. It's not that difficult anymore. We can have, and we do have at our fingertips and at our disposal, the very things that will help us to learn and help us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to read the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse number 19 says, "And it shall be with thee that he shall read therein all the days of his life." And why do we do that? In this portion of that verse, Deuteronomy 17, 19, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Why do we read the Word of God? That we learn to fear or to reverence our God. To know who he is, know how important he is. He's not just a little old grandfather up in heaven with a long beard, walking on a cane. He's not that kind of God. He's the sovereign God of this world that can command the hearts of the wicked man to do as he pleases. Don't ever be afraid of the word sovereign God. And here we find that we are to read God's Word that we might learn to fear the Lord. Not only that, it says, but to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and to do them. So we read the Word of God, we put them in our heart, and then we do what it says. Verse number 20, Deuteronomy 17. That his heart might not be lifted up above his brethren. You know what this book here will do when we read it? It'll make us know that we're no better than anybody else. I'm no different, I'm no better than anybody in this world. I have no more advantage than anybody else. I'm no better outside of the grace of God. I'm just like everybody else. And so here, as Moses writes Deuteronomy, he says, you read the Word of God that your heart might not be lifted up above your brethren. Find your place. And that, we call that humility. We call that being humble. And we read the Word of God. I'll tell you what, when you read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life of these that have followed after Him, it ought to humble us. It ought to bring humility to our heart that we literally, in the sight of God, we are nothing outside of the Lord. So we're to read God's Word, that be not lifted up above His brethren. Then He goes on and says, and turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and to the end that you may prolong His days in His kingdom. You want to live good? You want to live right? You want to live wrong, long? Serve God. Read the Word of God. If you want to have right attitude toward others, for thyself and others, Timothy, read the Word of God. He tells them here, neglect not. He says, don't despise. And he says, be a believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of what you ought to be. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and those things will be active in our life. I believe one of the most important aspects of the pulpit today is the magnification of the Word of God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. The most important thing we can do is to preach Jesus. The liberal crowd today says, oh, the Word of God, it doesn't really matter. It's just according to what you think. Somebody tell you that, just turn them off and be done with it. Just go out of their presence because they're getting ready to feed you something wrong. It does matter. This book does matter. What does it matter? Someone might say, it matters eternity. It matters for my children, my grandchildren. It matters for my church. It matters for me. The preaching and the exhortation of God's Word. The Bible should be the major part of our life as a believer, to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes upon Him. It is our guide. I'll tell you what, it better be your guide in these days that are called perilous times in which we live. You want to follow philosophy? Ah, they've got something for you. You want to follow education? It'll give you all the answers. None of them right, but it'll give you all the answers. You want to follow those things, or do you want to follow the Lord Jesus? And we learn of Him in His Word. It is the foundation of our faith. It is the authority of our practice. It is the guide for our days in which we live. This book is important. Reading, manifestation, understanding, preaching, identifying with the Word of God. It is right to serve Him, but it's contrary to the world. So we take care of our responsibility. First of all, we read the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, I know in my life, as much as anybody, and I'm sure in your life, one of the hardest things you'll do is find time to read the Bible. That's one of the hardest times. Well, I'll wait till tonight, and while you read it, you go to sleep and say amen. Well, I'll do it this time. I'll do it that time. If you set aside a time, I'll guarantee you the devil will come and he'll disrupt your time. Because he knows if we do not get into the book, we're open to anything. If we don't know what the Scripture says, then we can follow fables and still think it's okay and think it's right. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake ourselves together. But he says, but exhorting one another. Exhortation. To be exhorted. To have encouragement along the line. The devil spends much time resisting God's people in order to discourage us. I could ask for a raise of hands this morning and ask you, how many times or have you in this past week have you been discouraged? I guarantee you have. No other. What about last week? What about the week before? What about last month? What about last year? The devil comes to discourage us continually. And so many times, he discourages us because we have not been exhorted from the things of his Word. When we come to God's house, we should find comfort and fellowship and encouragement in one another. You see, this is a household of faith right here in this area. And when we come through those doors, we ought to encourage one another. There's enough discouragement out there. All you got to do is turn on your radio, turn on your television. All you got to do is walk up and down the aisles of Walmart. You'll find enough discouragement. All you got to do is check out and look over to the side and see all that junk there they're trying to sell you to the children.
Look everywhere. There's discouragement everywhere. And all of it is against the things that we believe as far as the Word of God is concerned. And when we come to the house of God, we need exhortation. We need building up. We need a raising up to a different level than what the world gives to us. So we need to read the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. And we need to hear the truth of God's Word. Doctrine. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, just over a few pages. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 13. Paul again writing a different letter to the same young man, and he's encouraging him to do what's right. He says to Timothy, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou." Timothy, evil men are going to do that, but you. He says here, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Timothy, know what you believe, know what you've heard, stand upon that. Evil men and seducers, they're going to get worse and they're going to get more wicked, but you stand where you know you're right. Stand on the Word of the Lord. He says in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Timothy was raised in a home that believed God. Believed about the Lord. He says, "Timothy, from a child thou hast known Holy Scriptures. They're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, you've had a great advantage. You've known the Word of God. You and I this morning, we have had a great advantage in our life. We have been raised in an area and a place and a country that we could hear the blessed Word of God preached and we could be saved by His grace, and now that's where we are. Amen. Boy, we have an advantage. Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. I can put my name there, and some of you can put your name there, that from a child you were taught what the Bible said. And he says, these things, you have known them. And then he says, verse 16, all Scripture. Bless your heart, all Scripture. When God spake His Word, it is given by inspiration or the breath of God. I'm glad to have a word that's inspired of the Lord. I'm glad to have a message that comes from God. Know what you believe. Know where you stand. Evil men are going to seduce. They're going to be worse and worse. But Timothy, you stay where you know you ought to be. Child of God, Christian this morning, stay where you know is right. Stay where you know is correct as far as the Scripture is concerned. Just because somebody has 10,000 following them does not mean he is correct. Just because they've got the big crowds. Well, the atheists have crowds. That don't mean I want to follow them. And people that preach doctrine that is not according to the Word of God, I don't want to follow them because I know where I stand. I know what I was taught. I know what the book says. And it's my duty as a believer, even if the whole world turns against it, it's my duty as a believer to say, here I stand. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say, but here's where I stand. And that Scripture there in verse 16, I've got a circle around the word Scripture. And then I've got a line drawn up to chapter 4, verse 2, preach the Word. That's the Scripture. If it's given by God, then it needs to be proclaimed by God's people. To preach the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And there's that word again, doctrine. What we believe. It's amazing how one message, and I've seen it happen so many times, it's amazing how one message can reprove and rebuke some people, and the same message at the same time can exhort other people.
They hear the same words. They have the same message at the same time, but it has a different effect upon the hearer. What might rebuke me might exhort you. What might exhort me might rebuke you. But it's all because we have a Bible that is inspired of God, and we have the ability to preach it. Today, preaching is almost a sideline with some people. They come to church for everything except preaching. They come for every reason except preaching. Some places you go to church, they have an hour-long concert and 15-minute sermonette. God help us. And I believe if people can raise their hand and can shout on singing, they ought to be able to do it on preaching. Because preaching is much more important than singing. Don't get me wrong. I love singing. I love music. I love good music. I love good singing. But it ought to just prepare our heart for preaching. We ought to meditate upon His Word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What does the word meditate mean? It means to think on. To consider it. To think about it. To look at it deeper. Not just to read over it. Now don't get me wrong. I have no problem with people reading through the Bible every year or twice every year. I know one preacher, he's already said he's read through the Bible 6 times this year. That's well and good. And I don't think there's a whole lot of meditation going on when you're reading it that fast. And there's a time that'll stop. I have a problem reading through it because I get so many places I run somewhere else. I see something else, and I find something else, and I look at something else, I think about something else. I have a hard time reading through it because while I'm reading it, I'm doing some messages. May not ever use them, but there's a message that God gives you. Nothing wrong with it, and I encourage it, and we ought to do it. But I'll tell you what, we better meditate, we better think about the Word of the Lord. And that way we can apply it to our heart. James says in chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." Do the Word of God, not hearers only. And then the last part of that verse, sometimes we don't look at it. If we're just hearers only, James says, we deceive our own selves. If we just hear it and do not do it, we're deceiving ourselves that we're doing okay. Do the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then God gives us protection. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Keeping our focus on Him. Keeping our focus, somebody put it this way, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I believe that's good advice for every believer. And Jesus Christ is the main thing. Now, there's other things in other areas and preaching and studying and thinking, but I'll tell you what, our eyes need to be focused, maintaining our view, correct view of who Jesus is. And by the way, He's not just another way of salvation. He's not another God. He is our God. He is the one we trust, the one we believe. And may we never be spoiled by those things that were mentioned there in the book of Colossians. May we not be spoiled by false teaching, false doctrine, but formalism. May we not be spoiled for just not caring about God's house. Those things that will tear us down. But Timothy, take heed to thyself. That means be careful. Timothy, from a child you knew it. You've been raised in it. And don't forsake it. Proclaim it. You and I this morning, we have great responsibility As much as we have heard, as much as I have preached, as much as you have heard from me and other people, we all have a great responsibility to stand where we know is right, to keep our eyes upon Him. Let's stand this morning and may God bless His Word.